From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, some two-fisted piano playing and fine singing. We feature an onstage concert and interview with Marsha Ball. Her music mixes the rhythms she grew up with on the Gulf Coast, Zydeco, Cajun, rhythm and blues, and boogie-woogie. She teamed up with Irma Thomas and Tracy Nelson for the new CD, Sing It. We'll also hear an excerpt of Tracy Nelson's onstage concert and interview. Marsha Ball and Tracy Nelson coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Voters are going to the polls across the country today after a weekend of intense campaigning by both parties. President Clinton and Republican Party leaders made last-minute pushes to help embattled candidates. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
34 Senate seats, 435 House seats, and 36 governorships are on the ballot today, as well as state legislators, county officials, and initiatives ranging from protections for Indian gaming to a ban on the sale of horse meat. In the final stretch, President Clinton urged African American and Hispanic voters to go to the polls to make the difference in what he called no ordinary election. Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott put his energy into helping North Carolina Republican Locke Faircloth, who's in a tough race to win re-election. House Speaker Newt Gingrich stayed home in Georgia after canvassing for contributions and candidates in 48 states. Republicans forecast modest gains in both the House and Senate, scaling back earlier expectations. They also expect to hold on to at least 32 governorships, but could lose the biggest prize, California, where Democrat Gray Davis has solidified an early lead. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.
Israel is threatening to delay its part of the latest peace agreement signed with the Palestinians. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he won't ask his cabinet to approve the agreement until he sees a finished Palestinian arrangement to fight terrorism. The U.S. State Department said yesterday the Palestinians had submitted the plans, but Netanyahu says his government has yet to see several important security guarantees. Secretary of Defense William Cohen and his British counterpart have agreed that force can be used against Iraq if it does not back down from its standoff with United Nations weapons inspectors. Silvio Poggioli reports from London.
The British Defense Ministry issued a statement today that Secretary Cohen and British Defense Secretary George Robertson agreed that Iraq must go back on its decision to stop cooperating with UN inspectors looking for weapons of mass destruction. The meeting was the first of Cohen's hastily arranged tour to European and Gulf allies' capitals. The statement said the ministers agreed that all options remained on the table, including the use of force if required to get Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein to submit to the will of the United Nations. Iraq announced this weekend it decided to stop all cooperation with the inspectors until a definite timetable is set for lifting strict sanctions that have been in place against the Baghdad regime since it invaded Kuwait in 1990. This is Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, London.
Authorities in Kansas report floodwaters are beginning to recede, but nearly 400 families remain in shelters. Heavy rain over the weekend triggered the flooding, which caused millions of damage in southern Kansas and northern Oklahoma. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 12 points at 86.93. This is NPR. In NPR's business update, it's somewhat of a slow day on the U.S. financial markets while Wall Street waits for today's election and new worries about corporate profits. NPR's Jack Spear reports.
As voters head to the polls, Wall Street has been mostly treading water. After 4 days of gains, the market seems to be taking a breather. That's amid some uncertainty over the outcome of today's elections and some new concerns over corporate earnings. Stock in Amoco rose today. That was after British Petroleum, which is buying it, reported stronger than expected earnings. Citigroup stock fell for a second day in a row following the announcement this past weekend. The company's president, Jamie Dimon, is resigning. Chrysler, meanwhile, reported its October car and truck sales were up 20%. On the economic front today, the nonprofit business research group The Conference Board announced its index of leading economic indicators designed to predict the state of the economy 6 to 9 months down the road was unchanged in September. Jack Spear, NPR News, Washington.
Computer disk drive maker SyQwest Technology has asked the Nasdaq stock market to stop trading its shares. SyQwest has also suspended its operations and could file for bankruptcy. Each share of SyQwest stock was worth about 34 cents compared to $4 just 1 year ago. The National Association of Securities Dealers has wrapped up its merger with the American Stock Exchange. The NASD is the parent of the Nasdaq stock market. Unlike the Amex, the Nasdaq has no trading floor and relies on a computerized trading system to bring together buyers and sellers. The two markets will continue to operate separately, but they will offer investors the choice of doing business through the Nasdaq electronic trading system or on the Amex floor. I'm Corva Coleman, National Public Radio News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Borders Books and Music, a place to satisfy existing curiosities and discover new ones. Location information at 800-644-7733.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the things Austin, Texas is best known for is music, and one of the reasons why is pianist, singer, and songwriter Marsha Ball. In Rolling Stone, she was described as playing with a sort of rollicking spirit that can't be taught but must be felt. Her music is steeped in the rhythms of the Gulf Coast. She grew up in Louisiana on the Texas border and has lived in Austin since the early 70s. She's made several recordings for Rounder Records. On a recent trip to Austin, I hosted an onstage concert and interview with Marsha Ball to benefit public radio station KUT. Tracy Nelson also joined us. We heard part of Nelson's concert a couple of weeks ago. We'll hear more later today. Ball and Nelson, along with singer Irma Thomas, trade solos and do backup vocals for each other on the new CD, Sing It. Here's a song from it featuring Marsha Ball singing. Marsha Ball grew up in a small town in Louisiana. I asked her to describe it.
Well, I kind of did in one of my songs. It's 10 blocks square. I didn't realize this until I had left because it was my whole world for 17 years. My parents kept me pretty much right there in town, although there were honky-tonks all around and, you know, you'd go one town or another to shop or to go to a movie, but for the most part, we were in that town, and it wasn't until I had left town, and actually I was running, I was jogging one day, and I was standing on one street, and there was a sign that said Catholic Church, 8 blocks, and I thought, well, I'm on the westmost street, and that's only 2 blocks away from the eastmost street, so there's really only 10 blocks in this whole town, and that's how big it is.
Well, you have a song that I'd like you to play that I imagine is pretty autobiographical called Down the Road. And maybe you could do the song for us, and then we could talk a little bit more about that period of your life.
All right. It's an autobiography. Right. Good times are down the road, and Mama won't let me go. I'm sneaking off in my daddy's car, and parked behind the B&B bar, thinking I'll go crazy if I can't get out on a dead-end street in a 10-block town. One day I'll take the coastal bend, hit the Gulf of Mexico, and drive on. hands and a heavy heart. When will my real life start? I'm tired of six packs and driving shows and talking back to the radio. I got wheels and I'm ready to pack, but I don't know what's holding me back. Every day I say I'm gone, and then every night I'm in the joints again. Down the road, down the road, down the road, down the road. Popping through the fog, a siren screaming on a one-lane street. I could hear it from my bedroom screen. Thin walls in a cheap hotel, people next door, they fighting like hell, and drinking whiskey from a paper cup, and watching TV till the sun comes up. Down the road, down the road, down the road, down the road. Swimming in the trap and wishing I could take the water away from Lake Charles on up to Galveston Bay and keep on going to the open sea. Wild like the wind and running free. Down the road, let the good times roll. Down the road, let me free my soul. Down the road, I got to go down the road. Seems so long there's not a band there, and you know, people aren't dancing in front of you. People are actually paying attention.
Are you more used to people dancing than on a concert stage?
Yes.
How do you like the concert stage?
It makes me nervous.
Well, you sound good.
Not the thing.
So could you actually hear music coming out of the clubs from your window at home?
I lived across the street from the Catholic Hall growing up, and I had a real incredible moment of deja vu not long ago. I was in a vintage store, and I pulled this dress off the rack, and I thought, oh, God. It reminded me of Wednesday nights in the summer when you'd play outside. You're just on the cusp. You know, you'd play outside until you're just covered with grass and red bugs and little dirt necklaces and bracelets and everything. Then you'd run in, and you'd take a shower. It'd be so hot, or take a bath. You'd be so hot still. You'd still be sweating, and you'd put on this was this little cotton dress with a full skirt and rickrack down the front, just like one of those dresses that we'd put on and go to the dance across the street.
Huh. So did you go through a period of when you got out of your 10-block town of going wild?
Yeah, in a way I did. I was in, I grew up in what I really think are the best of times. You know, a childhood in the 50s in a small town. And then growing up, coming of age in the 60s and, you know, in a college. I didn't go wild enough. I mean, I didn't go to Berkeley or anything. I didn't go to San Francisco for like some people I could name. But I did go to Baton Rouge to go to college, and I was only 17 when I went. And it was just, you know, the greatest time of free love and, you know, protest politics and no diseases that you couldn't cure with penicillin, and you know, available birth control, and even the drugs weren't as strong or as dangerous as, you know, as they are now. So,
but no.
We have the best cars, we have the best music. We just had that goofy clothes that was, which is real popular right now.
No. Musically, my understanding is that before you started doing a lot of rhythm and blues, you were singing more, you know, quote, psychedelic music?
Yeah. Started out in a rock band.
What was your repertoire in your early rock band?
Well, I did a lot of Janis, or some Janis and some Grace Slick and some Jimi Hendrix. I sang a couple of songs. I did a Janis Ian song, and then a little bit of blues. We also, you know, Slim Harpo lived right across the river.
So what was your personality on stage when you started, when you were in that period?
Well, I didn't play piano. I stood up and sang. My hair was straightened, you know, parted in the middle and down to here, and just came down my face kind of like this, and I wore Nehru jackets. And that's all. I didn't wear Nehru pants.
What was your voice like? Did you?
I sounded quite a bit like Janis, or I could sound quite a bit like Janis.
Which was much more of a screaming, belting kind of voice than what.
Well, it
you
was,
know.
And which is why I enjoyed the change of styles when I started singing country, because that was an opportunity to sing songs with melodies. Not to say, I mean, I still do Peace of My Heart. I love that song.
So, you know, you started country when you came to... I know you were doing country when you came to Austin, but let's backtrack a little. You said you never went to San Francisco, but you tried.
We broke down.
Tell us the story of what happened on the way to San Francisco.
Well, we got to Austin, and... you know! Look at him! I know why y'all are here, too. We got here, there was a lot of interaction between Baton Rouge and Austin before I got here. To us, it really was the third coast. We were getting posters from the Vulcan Gas Company that looked just like the Family Dog posters and the Fillmore posters that were coming from the West Coast and from New York, and there was a good music scene and already. And
did you figure out at some point that maybe there was already enough, like Grace Slick, and there was Grace Slick and Janis Joplin and a lot of people trying to be them, that maybe you were better off trying to figure out who you were? Or?
In a way, I did, and I'll be honest with you. I used to work here at the university. This is what I did. That was the other reason I stayed, was that I had a friend who worked at the university and could get anybody a job in the library. So I worked here, and we would drive home, living in South Austin, same neighborhood I still live in. And we would be listening to the radio, and I guess it was probably 71 in the middle of all this, and Tracy Nelson would come on the radio. I think, damn, I can do that. That's what I want to do. So, yeah, I was already kind of moving. And, you know, I picked up things from everybody along the way.
Would you do a few bars of a country song that you did in your country period?
You were mine for just a while. Now you're putting on the style, and you'll never once look back to your home across the track. You're the gossip of the town, but your heart can still be found where they tossed it on the ground. Pick me up on your way down.
That's a nice song.
We'll get back to the onstage concert and interview with Marshall Ball after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the onstage concert and interview with pianist, singer, and songwriter Marshall Ball, recorded in September in Austin, Texas, where Ball lives. Okay. Well, Marsha Ball, I really love your piano playing as well as your songs and singing. So I thought we might start with the piano playing. How old were you when you started playing?
I started taking lessons when I was 5 years old.
Now, we hear the kind of music you play now. What were you learning when you were five?
Well, I started, you know, kiddie classicals like everybody does. But I had piano players in my family, so there was piano to listen to. And my grandmother was a ragtime piano player and kind of came out of the Tin Pan Alley generation in that era. She had a window seat full of sheet music, and so even pick out some of that and listen to her.
Now, you were born and grew up in Louisiana. What do you consider the regional rhythms are just a part of you living there?
Well, I actually was born in Orange, Texas. I want to go ahead and claim dual citizenship while I'm at it. And I grew up right across the state line in Vinton, Louisiana. And I don't accept that border. I don't give credence to that as of the Sabine River as being a border.
We are given this choice when we're born in this country to just ignore the borders.
I think that the Gulf Coast is a region and, you know, could be considered a state. And especially from the Lake Charles to Beaumont and Port Arthur area, which has spawned so much great music. And you can't divide, you know. So if Clifton Chenier lived in Port Arthur and Gatemouth Brown, you know, lived in Orange, Texas, and Guitar Junior, who's now Lonnie Brooks, lived in Lake Charles, where's there a line there that... But the rhythm is, my favorite is the old 6/8, you know. You gave me love when there was none. Matilda, you know, that's a, Matilda, you're the only one. The Gulf Coast 6/8 soul sound.
What else do you consider unique to?
We had a lot of Zydeco and Cajun music, you know. Well, my sister got married at a very early age. Mama got her ready for her wedding day. Everybody came to see the beautiful bride. Like that, a good Cajun two-step, waltzes. Jolie Blanc type waltzes, and then the Zydeco.
Did you have teachers who taught you this, or did you just pick it up from listening to
records?
No, and
I picked up most of this as an adult, really, as a piano player in bands. I grew up, you know, listening to How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? How my grandmother played.
Did they encourage you or discourage you or none of the above from playing rhythm and blues?
Well, that came later, I guess. You know, I loved to boogie woogie from the first time that I could hear that. I, you know, was trying to make my hands go the octave so I could, so I could try to do the octave and to stride and. They didn't discourage me. I could always get out of doing housework by playing the piano.
You know, I think the stereotype is that there's a lot more men than women who play that kind of two-fisted type of piano. Have you found that to be true, that there's not that many women that you know who play like that?
No, there aren't many. There are some. Katie Webster
comes
to mind immediately as a, you know, great piano pounder and... Carol Fran from down in Houston, who plays... Actually, she's got a more sophisticated style to draw from, too, but she also can wail.
What kind of reactions did you get when you started playing? Were people surprised?
Well, it's kind of been a gradual progression for me to get to this point with the piano. I mean, I've really played rhythm piano in the country band and started out with the front... really when I discovered Professor Longhair, which I came kind of late to considering that I grew up in Louisiana, but his stuff wasn't really available to us readily in the country, and his early recordings had fallen out of print. And so it wasn't until the late 70s when Atlantic started reissuing mm-hmm. a series of records that they'd made in the 50s. And a wonderful band here named Uncle Walt's Band did a song called In the Night. And I asked them where it came from because it really hit me right away, and they just opened this door of material.
Play
to
a
me.
Little of something that he played that you learned. Marsha Ball recorded on stage in Austin, Texas in September. We'll hear more in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Barnes & Noble, bookseller since 1873. Online at barnesandnoble.com, AOL keyword BN. Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, and from Princeton University Press, publishers of The Shape of the River by William G. Bowen and Derek Bach, an examination of race-sensitive college admissions policies and their long-term consequences. In bookstores or on the web, pup.princeton.edu. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, we continue our concert and interview with Marsha Ball, and we hear from Tracy Nelson, who's featured with Ball and Irma Thomas on the CD Sing It.
Sister, sing it like you choose.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Back with more of an onstage concert and interview with pianist, singer, and songwriter Marsha Ball. She grew up in a small town in Louisiana and has lived in Austin, Texas since the early 70s. Her music is powered by the rhythms of the Gulf Coast. Marsha Ball records for Rounder Records. She trades vocals with Tracy Nelson and Irma Thomas on the new CD, Sing It. Early in Ball's career, her emphasis was more on singing than on playing piano. She sang in a country music group. Then she moved on to rhythm and blues.
So rhythm and blues, when did you start figuring bringing piano back into the picture?
I played piano in the country band, and after that band broke up, I had to decide whether to start a band, join a band, or, you know, have another life, do something else. And I decided, I was in another band for a while, I joined a band for a while, and that didn't really work out. And so I needed to start a band, and frankly, I started it because I needed to call the shots because I was pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And I needed to be able to say where we were going and when, and this is my nanny, and this is my baby, and, you know, I needed to be able to call the shots. So I started a band. I didn't tell them I was pregnant when I put it together. And that worked out. And then I gradually did more and more R&B, and that was really about the time I went to Louisiana and with my old roommate who had moved here, who was living here, but, you know, we kind of stayed with her for a while when we moved in. And we went back, and we found Irma on that trip in Abbeville playing a gig.
Irma Thomas.
And I met her then, and we were on a search for Irma's records because I knew that that was the direction I was going to be moving in, and I wanted to go find It's Raining So Hard and Ruler of My Heart and all those great songs.
So when you started playing rhythm and blues and seeking out more material, did you find songs that you felt comfortable with?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a wealth of material. I'm still amazed. I was talking to Tracy earlier about songs that I've dropped from my repertoire, mm-hmm. some things that I've never recorded, but just great songs that I don't do anymore just because, you know, you replace them with something else, but then you're thinking, it's Ease the Pain. That was the name of it. And I think it's Jackie Wilson. And it's not a gender thing. We were also complaining about how, you know, sometimes when you're looking for a song, somebody say, well, you can't do that. That's a man's song.
Well, another thing that goes on.
Your pardon.
Well, particularly in some blues and rhythm and blues songs, there's some songs that just sound, well, really pretty sexist. And they were written, I think, in a time before people thought about that a whole lot. And I think you've kind of turned that on its ear a little bit. Like you do a lot of the double entendre songs that other people have written, and you even came up with one of your own. And before you play the one that you wrote, talk a little bit about why you like doing songs like that. The songs that are double entendres about sex that don't come out and say it, but just tease about it a lot.
Well, it's just fun. One, you know, it's all about, in a way, you know, a lot of blues is, and I don't even get approached the old Jelly Roll type songs, you know. I've got a stack of CDs of old stuff. And that was one of the reasons when I did Let Me Play With Your Poodle. And I thought, you know, take it any way you want. But this record was released in 1942. And if they could take it, then I think we probably could too. And instead, I just get lots of pictures of people's poodles.
Why don't you play us the song that you wrote?
Okay. It's called The Right Tool for the Job. And I want to send... I'm going to send it out to my husband, who thinks a screwdriver is a special tool. When I go to eat my dinner, I reach for my spoon and fork. When it's time to cut my steak, I make sure my knife is sharp. And when I want to hang a picture, I reach for a hammer and nail. And if I've got to clean the floor, I get out the mopping pail. I don't like to waste my time. I make sure I've got the right tool for the job. The right tool for the job. The right tool. I I want a car that goes real fast. And when I listen to music, I want the radio to blast. And if my house is burning down, get the fire truck real quick and take me to the finest doctor, y'all, if I start to feeling sick. I want an icebox that stays cold, a stove that gets real hot, the right tube on the job, the right tube on the job. I want a fan that keeps me cool at night, a hum that always lets me ride. The right tool for the job. The right tool for the job.
Marsha, would you explain the lyric to me? No. What our radio listeners can't see, but what everyone else can, is that you're really tall. And I'm wondering if you felt much more comfortable with that when you started getting on stage than you did before that, because I think people are always self-conscious when they're very short like me or very tall like you. But being tall on stage is a wonderful thing to be.
It's turned out to be an asset and an attribute. But, yeah, there were many years. I feel like the years of pleasure I've gotten out of it have balanced almost the years of of being the tallest thing, I mean, in my parish. Not just the tallest girl, I mean, the tallest thing.
For several years, you and your husband ran a restaurant club in Austin.
Yeah.
That was very popular, and I think you gave it up a couple of years
ago. Yeah.
What did you learn about the music business? What insights did you get from running a club that you were different from the ones you had from performing in them?
Oh, it made me an incredibly understanding performer. I count the gate about as with as much nervous tension as the club owner does, and I know what that feels like. I know what it's like to pay out money that didn't come in at the door at the end of the night, and it's made me understanding and just there's a lot of stuff. I'm not real demanding of a lot of things in terms of sound systems, and you just kind of take a club on the strength of what it is, and some of your favorite places and your best places have these little quirks that one of the my favorite places I ever played was a place called Jay's Lounge and Cockpit in Canton, Louisiana. And the first time we got there, the parking lot was full of cars, and we thought, all right, you know, big crowd. And we walked in, there's nobody in the room. But you could hear the noise out back, and if you walked through the bar and into the cockpit in the back, there was a cockfight going on. And it was packed. And then that was over, and then the band played, and then they served us gumbo at the end of the night.
What song went over
chicken
best in that
gumbo,
atmosphere?
I might add.
Oh, yeah. What song went over best in that club?
Oh.
Thank you.
Clifton Chenier song.
Right.
Marsha Ball recorded in Austin, Texas at a benefit concert for station KUT. Ball shared the bill with Tracy Nelson. We'll hear from Tracy Nelson after a break. This is Fresh Air. Marsha Ball shared the bill with Tracy Nelson when I spoke with them in Austin. They're featured along with rhythm and blues singer Irma Thomas on the new CD, Sing It. Before we hear from Tracy Nelson, let's hear a song from Sing It with Tracy Nelson singing lead, Ball and Thomas doing backup vocals. That's Tracy Nelson from the new CD, Sing It. Tracy Nelson first became known in the late 60s as the lead singer of the roots music group Mother Earth. Since the 80s, she's recorded for Rounder Records. We featured her part of the concert a couple of weeks ago on Fresh Air. We're going to hear an excerpt of that concert and interview now. Tracy Nelson was accompanied by Marsha Ball. We talked about how Nelson first got interested in rhythm and blues.
What did you hear in when you started listening to blues and rhythm and blues? What did you hear in that music that reached you?
You know, that's so hard to answer. Someone should do some research on it, because I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm from a Norwegian. Okay, I think largely it's the way I say Madison, Wisconsin. I'm telling you, Fargo did not exaggerate. And my family's Norwegian, and I was raised in the Episcopal Church, so I had none of that music came to me naturally, but... but I did listen early on to some blues stuff, thanks to a guitar teacher I had who turned me on to a lot of it. And we used to get WLAC, which was a great blues and R&B station then out of Nashville. It went nationwide for a long time, and with Hoss Allen and John R. And they were just wonderful DJs. They played, you know, everything in the spectrum of blues. And it just nabbed me. I mean, I don't know why. I wasn't particularly depressed. I'd listen to Robert Johnson, and my mother would say, "Are you depressed? Why are you listening to all these?" That, and she thought it was quite filthy. Robert Johnson had some pretty filthy lyrics. But so
did you feel that when you started to want to sing that music yourself, that somehow maybe you couldn't because you were white, because you weren't from the South, because you weren't living that kind of life?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely, to this day, kind of, in the back of my mind, have some of those reservations, but I can't help myself.
So did you find people who you could sing with, people who could accompany you, people who loved the same music you did?
Well, in college, you know, that was like the folk scare of the 60s.
Yes.
And there were a lot of people doing that kind of stuff then, folk blues. When I moved to San Francisco, it was a much bigger problem.
Well, let's wait with San Francisco for a second. You're talking about the folk scare period. Didn't you win a folk singing contest when you were in college?
That?
Yeah,
that's so, not common knowledge.
What,
oh God, this woman does her research.
What? Oh, thanks. What song did you win the contest with?
Probably High Flying Bird. It was a Judy...
Richie Havens.
No, Judy Henske. He did it,
oh,
too.
Oh, but he recorded it, yeah.
But Judy Henske, I think, did it first.
A few bars?
Let's see. There's a high flying bird way up in the sky, and I wonder if he looks down on me as he flies on by. Just look at me here. I'm rooted like a tree here. I've got to sit down, can't cry. Oh, Lord, I'm going to die blues. And that was like my big finish for my folk act, so that was probably the one.
And the prize for winning was?
$500 and a two-week gig in Randy Sparks Club in Los Angeles. These contests were essentially so Randy Sparks could find singers to form like multiple... New Christy Minstrel groups. So he could have them...
Why it was called the Folk Scare.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. He'd sold the rights to New Christy Minstrel, but he was just going to like glut the market with sound-alike groups, and so he was looking for singers to do that. And I had 2 weeks in his club, and he told me at the end of the 2 weeks that he wasn't going to invite me to join one of his groups, which that was the first I had heard that was the case anyway, because he thought I was a little too like rough for that scene. I was just, oh God, you broke my heart here. And I went, so that got me out to the West Coast, and then I decided pretty quickly I didn't like LA and went up north. But
to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Now, how did you find the musicians in the band that you formed, Mother Earth?
Well, Doug's going to kill me for this. He's going to kill me, but I mean, this is the absolute truth. We looked everywhere for musicians, and the man who was kind of acting as my manager then, was my manager for years, Travis Rivers, came to us one day and he said, it was me and another singer and a keyboard player, said, I found a great R&B section. They're great. They're from South Texas. They're just what you want. And I said, well, how'd you find these guys? He said, well, it's Doug Somm's band. And I said, well, isn't Doug going to be kind of nerked off if we just take his whole rhythm section? And Travis said, screw him. He just ran off with my wife. That's the absolute truth.
So what has Doug Somm's reaction since then been?
He asked me not to tell that story.
I guess we'll leave it there.
Yeah. Oh, and so, we definitely got the better end of that deal. There's no deal about it.
Now the the band was named Mother Earth, and it was named after a Memphis Slim song that was a song that the band did. Let me ask you to do a few bars of the song.
Yeah, okay. What did we decide on? G? Well, you can hide me all the time, and you may never come my way. Mother Earth is waiting for you. There's a debt you've got to pay. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care what you're worth. When it all got to go back to Mother.
Tracy Nelson. We'll bring Tracy Nelson and Marsha Ball back for a duet after a break. This is Fresh Air. We've heard from Marsha Ball and Tracy Nelson in concert and interview today. They shared the bill when I spoke with them on stage in Austin, Texas. Ball and Nelson are featured along with rhythm and blues singer Irma Thomas on the new CD, Sing It. Let's bring back Marsha Ball and Tracy Nelson.
As you know, Irma is not here with us tonight, but Irma Thomas has recorded a trio album with Tracy Nelson and Marsha Ball. And I'd like to conclude tonight's program by asking Tracy and Marsha to do a duet, and I think you'll get a sense of how wonderful they sound.
You know, we were talking about, like, man songs, like, you can't do that song because it's a man song. It's really hard to find a song that two women can do together without it getting just really complicated. So, and this is one of them, although I watch Marsha so we can get our phrasing together, but, you know, we're not really singing it to each other. Today, anyway.
Of me and you, we've just
Marsha Ball and Tracy Nelson singing Heart to Heart, a song also featured on their CD, Sing It. Our concert and interview was recorded in September in Austin, Texas, at a benefit for Station KUT. Our thanks to Roland Morehouse of KUT, recording engineer Dana Whitehair, and WHYY's Art Ellis. Today's broadcast was produced by Roberta Shurrock and Danny Miller. I'm Terry Gross.
I want to hold you in my arms for you. Sweet things to you till you say I've said enough. I want to stand right by your side when the going gets tough.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, and from Little Brown & Company, publisher of The Thinker's Way, 8 Steps to a Richer Life by John Chaffee, Ph.D., in bookstores. This is NPR, National Public Radio.